Glory to God. Who's your Redeemer? I got two people, I think. Who's your Redeemer?
Jesus!
Come on, Jesus is our Redeemer, isn't He? Hello? Is this on? Jesus is our Redeemer, isn't He? Come on, amen, 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 amen. You know, sometimes as a preacher, as a minister, you get a message and you get a theme going, and the Lord has just been talking to me about that Jesus has to be in the center of everything. Let me say that one more time. Jesus has to be in the center of everything. Hallelujah. I've been studying, and this is not part of the sermon, but I've been studying, and God's taken me back to the heart of worship, the song that we sang. And I've been studying about worship, and sometime after the first of the year, I'm going to do a series on worship that will be not like nothing you've ever heard before, I'm sure, because God has burdened it on my heart, burned it into my heart. It's for me first, and that's why it's going to take a little time to get to you, but it's for me first, but I believe God is leading us in that direction. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Here's my goal. Here's my desire. Here's what I live for and long for. Is that we as a church have an expectation and bring in the glory of God to the degree that nobody who comes with an open heart will leave the same way that they came. Right, answers that are needed are in the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the presence of God, or the appearance of God, or the attributes of God being on display. Hello? The Bible talks in the Old Testament about when King Solomon built the temple, had all the things put together, and when they dedicated the temple, it said that the glory came in like a cloud, so that none of the priests were able to do their ministering duties. They couldn't kill the sheep, they couldn't light the lamps, they couldn't do any of that, because the glory of God, watch this, the glory of God filled the place. Amen. I've seen His glory come in, right? I've seen a glory cloud. What do I mean by that? I've seen it, and it was in the old church building. I saw it where I was up front, and I couldn't see the back rows because of the mist that was in the room. It was God's glory, right? And I believe that we're headed for greater manifestations of God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we want to talk this morning about Jesus, your Redeemer. Why do I want to talk about that? Because I want you to know who Jesus is so that you can display Jesus. Amen? You know what Jesus said to His church before when he departed? He said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And if you ask most Pentecostals, what's Pentecost about, and what is the real reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's so that we can speak in tongues. But the reality, the speaking in tongues is just part of it. The real deal is that we receive power to be witnesses about Jesus. Right? To be witnesses about Jesus. And I just heard this morning. This is so good. That word witness has the same root as martyrdom. Let me say that again. The same root as martyrdom. What does that mean? That if we really want the power of God, we've got to, and we need the power of God to be able to walk in a way that we're able to lay our lives down for Him when it's necessary. There's so much to that. But we have to know who Jesus is. Come on. He's not just the Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. He's your Redeemer. Who needs a Redeemer? Everybody, 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 everybody. It's not just about us being redeemed and being in this church and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and that we all can say so and all of that. That's good. But how about all of those that are outside who don't know the Redeemer? Right? Who's going to tell them about the Redeemer. Hopefully us. Hopefully us. But we've got to let the power of God work in us so that we're able to tell the story again. Hallelujah. Some of us were bolder about telling the story years ago, and we've kind of slacked off on that, and it's time for us to get back on fire again, because everybody that you know needs a Redeemer. Let me say that again. Everybody that you know needs a Redeemer. Everybody that you know needs a Redeemer. I've figured out that the mess that the United States is in is absolutely, irrevocably on a downward turn unless there's an awakening by the church. Hallelujah. It's not going to come by a political party, so don't worry about voting for this one or that one or get all mad on Facebook about what you believe. Forget all of that. I mean, there's some importance to that. Don't miss, you know, get me wrong. But the reality is that we have to be believing that the church will be empowered by the Spirit of God to begin to remove the revival of the church so that the world can see Jesus in us, become awake, and change the nation. I really, truly believe that's our only hope. Because we're I don't know if you know this, but we're sliding down so fast. So fast. That I believe it's going to take a move of God. And I believe He's got one more move in Him. Amen? I believe the church is ready for another move of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 1 of Isaiah 53 says, "Who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" I like that. It's two questions, but the second one answers the first one. It says, "Who's believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The arm of the Lord will be revealed to those who believe the report. Come on. If you believe the report, His arm will be revealed to you. What does His arm signify? It signifies His strength. It signifies His help. Come on. How many need a little help? We need a little help from our friends, right? We need a little help in the place. We need a little help in our lives. Our nation needs help. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, "For He shall grow up." Now, from this point on, I want you to see that Jesus is He. Let me say that one more time. Well, that's a little awkward, but I need you to see when we're reading through this that Jesus is He. Jesus is He. It says that He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. When we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Right? Now forgive me if your painting of Jesus looks like a movie star. That's not who He was. That's not who He was. Right? It says here that He's not going to be anything to look at. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. But like so many of us, and this is just a side note, you know, you can be just so what the world would call beautiful, but in your eyes, they're either empty or they're evil or they're vicious. But if you find somebody that has a good heart, that loves people, and you look into their eyes and all you see is acceptance, that's Jesus. Come on, that's Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him." Is that all speaking about Jesus? Amen. Do you know that Jesus walked around, and there were throngs of people that followed Him because He was doing miracles? And come on, let's go see what He's going to do next. He fed 5,000. He healed everybody. We've seen demons come out. And there were throngs of people. What does that mean? The Bible commentaries say that it's like 5,000 to 10,000 people and even more followed Him. That's a pretty good crowd. Yeah. Now look at this. Watch this. 3 years. His ministry lasted 3 years. So it went from him and his mom. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and then 12 showed up. But within 3 years, there was thousands of people following him. Until the end, there was no one. I would call that not a very successful ministry on today's standards. Right? Man, you had a church of what size and there's nobody there now? Right? But we can't look at it that way. Watch. Our success is determined by obedience. But now, who was Jesus? Jesus was born of a virgin, and born of a virgin because the blood of the Father is where the lineage comes from. And the lineage had to be pure and holy for him to be the spotless lamb that could take away the sins of the world. So his Father is the Heavenly Father. He was with him before the creation of the world. In him was everything created by him, for him. It was all done. So the Son of God, the eternal God, came into the form of in a baby and grew up. So this man that was rejected, this man that was despised, was the Son of the living God. He was God. He was deity. Are you listening to me? This is the Jesus that we're talking about that was rejected and despised. But he was all of those things for us. He took all of that upon himself so that I don't have to have it. I don't have to bear it. Come on. Verse 4 says, surely, everybody say surely, he has borne our griefs. Come on. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Talking about our Redeemer. This is Jesus. And this is Jesus to me. This is Jesus to you. But I'm just going to keep it first person for just a second, because I want you to hide this in your heart. Surely he's borne all my griefs. He bore them. I said he bore them. When did he bore them? He bore them 2,000 years ago. But who's believed our report, and who is the hand or the arm of the Lord revealed? It's to those that believe he's already taken your grief. Right. Why? Because he's my Redeemer. So when grief comes to you, and grief comes to us, we lose people, things happen that we don't like, you know, but how do we react? We should react with, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I'm looking at Jesus, the beginner, the author, the finisher. He's the one that I believe in. He's the one that I'm for. And surely he's borne my griefs. He carried away my sorrows. Glory to God. And in the Hebrew, it's actually, he bore my sickness. And he carried away my pain. And we did esteem, or we did reckon him stricken. What does that mean? I believe that he was stricken for me. I reckon that he was stricken for me. I've reconciled the truth of this, that I was lost, I was without hope, there was no hope for me, and I deserve nothing from God, zip, zilch, nada. But I've reconciled the book by what he said, and that he did this all for me. Thank you, Daddy. And if he did it for me, I don't have to do it for myself. Right? Come on. This is so good. This is so good. I'm redeemed. He is my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquities. and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. What does that mean? That means that the enmity that was between me and God, that I was on complete terms with God before I got saved, that I could not approach God, that God was not approachable to me. There was a chasm between us because of sin, that my own personal sin, but sin in general that affected me before God. It was completely wiped out. I knew that I knew that I knew that I wasn't right with God, that I was at war with God because of sin. But the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, there was a peace that came, meaning the war is over. I'm no longer under the battleground of knowing whether or not I have a relationship with God based on what Jesus did for me. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. In other words, the very punishment that was due to my sin was put on him so that it no longer hangs over my relationship with God. That's the peace that passes all understanding that's talked about in Philippians, right? Hallelujah. And by his stripes, we are healed. Let me say that again. By his stripes, we are healed. Well, you know, that's just spiritual healing. Do you think so? Go to Matthew chapter 8. We'll come back here, but go to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, it talks about many different people that were touched by Jesus and were healed. But it's very interesting, this particular verse in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to get your attention as soon as I get there on verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. That it might be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that. Is Jesus the same today, yesterday, and forever? I mean, is he the same? Yes. So if he fulfilled it then, is it fulfilled now? Yes. I believe it is. Go back to verse 14 and we'll read through 17 again. It says, and when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and fever left her, and she arose and served them. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirit with a word, and he healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled. It doesn't say all of those that were spiritually sick were healed. It said all that were sick, period. Demons were cast out because of the bruising that was upon Jesus. Are you with me? Why am I saying that? Because I need you to see who Jesus is so that you can represent him when you go to lay hands on the sick. Who's supposed to lay hands on the sick? Believers. We've got to become bold in our belief. What does that mean? We have to become bold in our belief, emboldened with the courage and the fire of God that we can lay our lives down and say, well, I don't care if this doesn't work. I don't care if I look stupid. I don't care if this doesn't seem like it's working or if they make fun of me. I'm emboldened by the Spirit of God to act on the Word of God because my Redeemer lives and He's touched me and He wants to touch other people. Why are miracles so important in the church and in the early church? Because it brought attention to the words that were spoken. Come on. Come on. So if you begin to operate like that, and you say, listen, especially to the worst people that you can find, and they have a need, right? You can begin to pray for them. I heard this man say this, and listen, because every person's heart has a need. And God knows the need, and He wants to use us to match up with that need. Here's a little story. See, you've got to be able to represent your Redeemer, but you've got to believe that He's redeemed you and that He's still in the redeeming business. This church, and they had a motorcycle gang. The church had a motorcycle club. I shouldn't call it a gang. But, you know, in most motorcycle clubs, they wear the leathers. I don't know if you know what that means, but they got the vest on and the patches on the back. Well, that patch is a very big thing to them, and there's a whole realm of motorcycle lore that you better know that patch is legal, because those bad motorcycle gangs, if they don't recognize it, they're going to tear you up. So here's this church, and they have this motorcycle club, and they designed the emblem and everything. Well, in their area, they had to go to one of these motorcycle gangs, the lead one, and get their approval to wear the colors, they call them. They're the patches. They had to go to this guy. So here's a pastor from a church. It was a big church, so he wasn't the lead pastor, but he was a pastor of the church. He went into this motorcycle gang lair, their office, their place where they conduct business, and he said, I need to speak to the head dude about some colors that we want to wear. He said, I'm a pastor. Now, this is with the worst of the worst of the worst. I mean, rough dudes that have done all kinds of things. Why? And he said, I need to go in. He said, well, you need to talk to the president. He's in the office. Go on in. A pastor going into the office of the mean outlaw biker gang's office to ask permission to put patches. And so the pastor said, yeah, you know, this is what we want to do. We've got this logo and everything, and we want to put it on our vests, and we want to ride our motorcycles, and this is going to be our club. But I understand we need your permission to be able to do that. And the big, elder, burly, biker dude, the, you know, outlaw guy, he said, well, I guess that's all right. And would you pray for my granddaughter? My granddaughter's sick, and I need God to touch her. See, we may not go into a biker bar, but we may, you know, run into somebody that just needs help on the job, somebody that we run into at the grocery store, somebody that we, and God just says, go up and pray for them. You got to understand that the power of God and the Redeemer that's in you wants to reach out to them. He's already healed them. He's already forgiven them. He's already taken the war that's in their heart against God away. And He's looking for us to proclaim the message to them. Jesus is my Redeemer, but let me introduce you to Him. Have we forgotten as a church, as much as we want to get upset with everything that we see on the news and how bad things have been gotten, and what's good is bad now, what bad, it's just gotten terrible. But have we forgotten that all of those who don't have a Redeemer are going to hell? Have we forgotten that there really is a heaven to gain, but there is a hell to shun? And the Bible said that the many, 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 many are on the road to destruction. Right? Even as Christians, and we say this to be nice and to be pleasant with people who passed away, and our immediate response is, well, they're in a better place. Maybe. Maybe. But we can do nothing about it once they've passed. But we can't represent and present the Redeemer before they go. and give them a choice, but give them a choice. Watch this. We need to begin to sell Jesus because he's the best thing on earth. We need to begin to sell Jesus because he's real to us. We need to begin to sell Jesus and let Jesus work through us. Glory to God. I'm still believing for this, that there are people who will come into where the glory of God is, and like in olden days, they'll run up to the front and fall on their knees and say, I need Jesus! I'm a sinner! We've seen touches of it in the past, even within our small gatherings, but I'm believing for more. Why? Because the glory of God needs to come in, because our arguments and our programs and our hasn't worked. There's more leaving the church than are coming to the church today in our country. Did you know that?
Yes.
Running from church. COVID made them just run from church. But Jesus can make them run back to church. And what I'm saying is not just necessarily filling up a building. What I'm saying is running back to him and becoming of the body of Christ. Man, I'm not getting very far. That's okay. Back to Isaiah 53. Verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is silent. He opened not his mouth. For he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. That was Jesus. That was the whole cross, then his burial, and even with Pilate and all of that. I mean, he was presented before his people and he was deserted. He was declared guilty. He was declared worthy of death. Just one little note here. Jesus came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But he's coming again as the lion with the roar of Judah in his voice. Come on. What does that mean? He's coming back, and I'm going to say this in as sweetly as I can. He's coming back to kick butt and take names. He's going to set things straight. But we want as many people on the right side. We don't want anybody to go through the wrath of God. But we got to stand up. We got to speak up. We got to get bold in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, he was made, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he has done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. See, all of this is fulfilling scriptures that happened to Jesus. I take you to the places in the New Testament where this was absolutely fulfilled. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in for just a minute. His Father God was pleased to bruise him. And when it says bruise him, do you know that the scourging that he took on the cross made it so that he was unrecognizable to people? He was beat so badly and so severely, and it said that his father was pleased with that. That seems a little sadistic when you just take it at the surface level. But when you understand that that was the price that was needed to redeem man back to himself. Absolutely. Absolutely. Zach said that he was slain from the foundation of the world for that very moment. Absolutely. And why did it please him? Because God saw the end result. And that's you and me spending eternity with him. Come on, that's why. Whew. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, that's you and me. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. That happens every time somebody gets saved. That happens when he looks down at you. That happens when he looks at the church of the risen Christ. Come on, he's pleased. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. That's us. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He took my place. He took your place. I had a need for a Savior because I was lost in my inability to be right with God and my sin. But he made me right. See, this is the message that you got to get in your understanding. Yeah, I got saved and it doesn't make me good. The only thing that makes me good is God. But I've been made good. And God wants to show that off. Hallelujah. Go to verse 1 of chapter 54. Watch this. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing, cry aloud, and you have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Now watch this. What's he talking about here? We were without the ability to become born again. But we're barren. We didn't have the right to do it, but we can sing, we can rejoice. Why? Because he's the one who made the ability for us to be born again. I'm born again, glory to God. I'm begotten of the Father. He loves me. He loves you. That's so good. Now watch this verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will expand to the right and to the left. What's he talking about? I believe part of what he's talking about is that once you're born again, let it expand out. Come on. Let the glory of God that's right, abiding on the inside of you be seen outside of you. When you go up to somebody, and it might be your cousin, it might be your brother-in-law, it might be somebody that's way on the outside, and they start complaining about something or you hear about something, be bold and say, listen, let me pray for you. Because when I pray for you, watch this, something's going to happen. Come on. Something is going to happen. When I pray for you, I have an expectation. Why? Because my Redeemer lives and he gave me the job of presenting you and expanding my tent. Oh, glory to God. The only reason you expand a tent is because you need more room. And you need more room because there's more people. Glory to God. Come on, I believe that we're living in the last day. How many believe that? Anybody in the room believe that? Listen, in the last day, before he comes, there's going to be the greatest revival that's ever hit the earth. And there's been some awesome revivals all over the earth. I believe that more people are going to be born again in this last revival than have ever been born again before. Our question, though, is, are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to sit on the side? Come on, no. No. Who's believed our report? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, nor be, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. You will no longer remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Come on. This is talking about Israel, but it's talking about me. There are times in my life where it's been like, God, where are you? But I'm telling you today, right now, that He's with you. It may seem dark at a point, but if you'll stay with Him, if you'll keep seeking Him, if you'll keep looking for Him to be your Redeemer, there's coming a day when you're going to see the deliverance that He's promised you. You're going to see the healing that He's promised you. You're going to see your descendants saved. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As far as I'm concerned, every one of my offspring and the offspring of my offspring will be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Ora te befasandoro to befama. Listen, verse 9. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountain shall depart and the hill shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Hallelujah. O you who are afflicted one, come on, I know people in this room and people that are watching online, you've been going through stuff. But get your focus off this stuff and get them back on the Redeemer. Begin to declare who He is rather than what you're going through. Quit talking about how people have done you wrong and begin to talk about how He's done you right. When your mouth wants to talk about how everything is bad and everything's gone wrong, shut your mouth. And get your Redeemer back in your lips. Why? Because then your tent pegs will go out. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Verse 16 says, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Who's that? Who's that? That me. Come on, that me. That's me. He's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Verse 1 of 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're redeemed. He's your Redeemer. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's everything that you have need of. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 6. I'm winding down. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Is He near? Is He near? Seek Him. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. When's the last time that you saw somebody who was in need and called out to God for their deliverance, for their help, for their... Right? Come on. You see somebody that you know is in bad shape that's I'm just going to say it this way and love me anyway, that's just flat stir crazy. Right? I was going to say something else, but just flat nuts. And you think, man, there's no help for them. I can't even communicate. When's the last time you cried out to God? Got on your face before God and say, listen, there is help for them and it's you. Help me be the vessel that can get through to them. Help me pray and intercede and pray over them in tongues until I get a release. And I'm not giving up on them. I'm not quitting on them until I see them delivered. I see them healed. Because the Redeemer has done it for me. He'll do it for them. Are you with me? He's your healer. He's your Redeemer. He's the one that gave you peace. But He wants you to be the one that proclaims that to everybody else. Yes, but come up here, Zach, so that they can hear it online.
Hi. it's been a little while since I've been in front of a microphone. I was sitting on a park bench saying, God, I love you. And this lady comes, so I'd seen her one time before, and she's just walking around, talking to things around her, and declaring and speaking to things that are unseen. I'm like, Lord. At the same time, I was talking to this other gentleman. He was all of the Lord. He's like, I just pray for people. I just stopped what I was doing, and I just walked up to her, and I said, hi, can I pray for you? And she mumbles something off. And at that moment, I said, be quiet and still, not to her, but the things around her. And I knew she could hear me, but I knew those things were blocking her, as Pastor was saying.
Yeah.
So I just shared, you know, for a second, I just shared a little bit, Jesus loves you. But that wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was just to pray and to let her know that she was loved. Did she say thank you? No. But when she walked away, she wasn't mumbling. So
yeah.
Those things were silent. And in that prayer that was said, so she would hear one voice, the voice of God. Did it change her life astronomically, immediately? Not that I could see, but it did, because our Lord and Savior Jesus was there to touch her and help her clear her mind. And that is just what we're supposed to do. It's just simplicity. You know, the world and culture is trying to take everything from us and go this way, where no is yes and yes is no. But when we stand in the truth and it flows through us, it changes everything around us.
Amen.
And then our Redeemer, Jesus, can get in there.
Amen. Come on.
It's for us to bring them to Him, but it's for Him to clean them up. He did it for me. He'll do it for anyone.
Absolutely.
Be bold. It's not that I saw a miracle just now because Jesus used me and prayed. It's like, no, I just helped Him. I'm His servant. I'm His laid down lover. What does it look like? It could be a little uncomfortable. But on the other side of it, like Jesus went to the cross for everyone and every single person in this world.
Amen.
On the other side of that cross and that beating He took and the stripes and the bruises He laid and the blood that was shed for all of us in all eternity.
Yeah.
He went to the other side of that cross and that beating.
Come on.
For the joy that was set upon Him for
Amen.
The foundation of the world.
Amen. Woo! Yeah. Woo! Oh. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. We're going to go quickly and I'm going to close. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Some people read this and go, see, you can never know what God's going to do, but that's not true. We're His children and He'll share His thoughts with us. But we have to seek Him. We may not know a way, but He knows a way. I said, we may not have the answer, but He's got the answer.
Yes.
And He's got not only the answer for us, but the answer for the person that you're praying for.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right, I've got to close. So look at this. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth, so it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing to which I sent it. Let me just give this thought to you. Did you know that we are the body of Christ on the earth today? What does that mean? That we're His representatives on the earth? That we're His ambassadors? As an ambassador, you speak the word of the country or the person that you represent. and so do we. Let me read that again. So, watch this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, or my mouthpiece, and it shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. The word of God in your mouth will accomplish what God pleases for that to accomplish if you'll not stop, if you'll continue, if you'll stand. Now watch this. For you shall go out with joy. Everybody said joy.
Joy.
Come on, who needs a joy shot? Come on, who needs a, you know, yeah, I'm living life, but it's kind of sucks some days. But forget about that. You just go, no, I got joy in the Holy Ghost because His thoughts are not my thought. His ways are not my way. He's with me. He won't forsake me. He won't leave me. You shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's you. That's me. It's time for us to expand the tent. It's time for us to let the glory of God use us in our office, use us in our home, use us in church. But I think church is probably not the last place, but it's one of the. There's so many more places that He wants to use us than just a church. He wants to use us everywhere. But let His glory come through you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. Come on. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I'm cleansed by His Spirit. Let's pray. If I could have the worship team come up. Father, I just ask You to bless everybody that's been watching online. If you're watching online, if you can't stand, just raise your hands and just begin to declare that Jesus is my Redeemer. Jesus is my Redeemer. And my Redeemer lives. He paid the price so that I could have peace. He paid the price so that I could have joy. He paid the price so that I could be in love with everybody. So I'm just releasing my life to Him once again. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just lay down your life for Him right now and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, You've raised Him from the dead. I give my life to You. Use me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.